dying. Morris was my favorite BG, of course, because he had the black hat and the funny spectacles.
He was cool.
He was very cool. Also, he was the one who had the least amount of writing credits.
Is that right? I've never investigated.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Barry's the main.
Barry had the most writing credits. And to be honest with you, a majority of the songs are written by Barry and Robin Gibb. But then there's a whole bunch that were also written by Barry, Robin, and Maurice. So here's George Cunningham with Nights on Broadway.
Do the voice.
Oh, take it out. Nights on Broadway. Sweet song. Take it out. Crazy, crazy town. Something like that.
Finish. There you go.
There you go.
You want to start a band?
Yeah, we'll start a band.
That was pretty fabulous.
You know, it's funny. We're sitting here talking while we're playing some of these songs. I find out these guys are in bands I saw when I was drunk at some party 20 years ago. One of these guys was in the band. Damn. I'll be damned. Are you guys in the union or anything?
I am.
You're in the music
store? I'm member of local number one.
Does that mean you can't play this gig here at the radio station tonight because we're not paying you enough? Because the union makes you do that.
Well, I thought we discussed the money beforehand. All those emails we sent back and forth.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All that code that I wrote in, about the money.
I have friends who are in the Actors Equity, and they can't go to a birthday party and sing happy birthday if they're not getting paid. For real. Because Actors Equity will come out to the party and drag them out of there by the scruff of their neck and say, you're out of the union unless they pay you.
Musicians union ain't that way.
Musicians union ain't that bad?
All the musicians know you got a gig anywhere you can.
Well, is it true that to pay your dues at the musicians union, it's just a bag of pot?
Well, they gave me one, actually.
Oh, okay.
I joined.
Do you ever get a call like, hey, Chuck Berry's coming for the Oldies Fest, come play with Chuck Berry or any of those old geezer cats?
No.
What are the advantages to being in the musicians union?
I joined because I did a session wherein I played, what is the song? Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman, for some local cable thing.
Okay.
No, it wasn't local, it was a national cable.
When a Man Loves Cable?
That's it. When a Man Does Cable.
Okay.
Anyway, I'd get residuals if I joined the union.
Okay.
So this is a true story.
So you did it to get that dime check a year when the residuals come out.
It was a lot more than a dime.
Oh, good. I always hear stories about a guy, he'll play one session on a commercial somewhere or some jingle for some corporate trade show thing, and then he gets his residual and it's like a dime.
Now, the residuals I got for this it was like, I don't know, $500-$600.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was great. It was worth it.
Cool, that'll pay for the next record almost.
Woo! I don't think so.
Well, as veteran pop stars of the scene, are you ever tempted to get into that before you accuse me mode of music and just start making huge easy money and sleepwalking through the gigs like a lot of the aging pop stars do?
They've taught us their lessons very well, and so no, I avoid that. Do you?
I never sleep.
That's his answer. He never sleeps until the big sleep.
You got it.
George has a big instrumental coming out probably by summertime?
Certainly by mid-year.
Spring,
damn it.
Spring. Keep an eye out for that.
If it's spring, we better get going.
Eye out for the big Grave Blankets Valentine's Day gig at York Street Cafe. I know I'll be taking a date. You will, too. So book your reservations early.
We should probably mention the fact that the new record is not really around in stores, right?
New record by the Grave Blankets is called Orphan Recordings 91 to 2001, and where is it available?
Through graveblankets.com.
Can you download it?
No, it's an old-fashioned kind of thing. You gotta print out an order form and send me a check.
If Prince was on it, you could just download it.
Yeah, I know, but I ain't Prince.
Okay.
I'm me.
Now, does your website still have that...
It's a website, not a website.
Gee, where?
When are we having these guys down again, Rob?
I have them down next week, dude.
Can you still get that Human Dart song on your website?
No.
What happened to that?
You mean the CD?
You used to be able to get a I think it was a CD single to the Human Dart song, Baby Be My Slave.
I have sold Slave, backed with Dressmaker.
You can get the CD, because everyone's 45 is either all scratchy or sold at a garage sale now.
Did you know that this last week I sold 3?
Can you get me one?
What
are they going for?
We'll see.
What are they going for these days?
They're $8.
They're $8 for that damn song?
I think it's got really good. You're making me cry.
If it's $8 for that song, I think we're talking $3.50 per chord.
Hell yeah.
Man, that's
worth every
those are expensive. Those are some expensive chords. I should have brought that record tonight. I didn't. I just brought that other record.
Well, that's fine.
But that song by the Human Darts called Slave used to kill me when I was a kid.
It's a good one.
Shoot.
Give me Dressmaker.
Well, like I Dressmaker? Prefer Dressmaker, yeah. But Slave was the one that most people liked best. So it was the A side.
Because the words were, I love you, I need you, be my slave.
Well,
because it's kind of hardcore.
It was also, yeah, I mean, I beat her every night with a stick.
I remember that.
I mean, that's pretty, I didn't write that lyric.
Those are lyrics you can't get away with anymore.
No, absolutely not.
Are there any lyrics like that on the new Grey Blankets record?
No, the one that has the parental warning was the one from 2000 called Where It Hurts.
Okay.
I can't say the words that I said on probably. You guys don't curse on the show, do you?
No, never.
Okay.
You've read the transcripts of the show.
Yeah.
You and Chris
I got that one.
That's the one with some.
All right, we're gonna play the dirty song off that record.
Dirty, dirty song.
Play the Paper Cuts.
Oh, that's a song I always liked. I asked you one time if there was a real band called the Paper Cuts.
And I told you that no, there wasn't.
You told me there wasn't, and that name is still up for grabs. Punk rock bands.
I think there now is a band called the Paper Cuts.
Really?
Yeah.
With a Z.
And some numbers, I don't know.
Umlaut
over symbols,
the A.
Yeah, you know.
But you had told me that the song Paper Cuts was based on an amalgamation of a couple of different bands you were familiar with over the years.
Sure.
Do you want to tell us which bands
those
were?
Oh, no, it's a mystery.
Were these like nationally real, like playing on the radio kind of bands, or were these local bands
from
when you were growing up?
No one can know the secret. Okay. I never want to tell anybody. I know it doesn't mean anything to anyone but me.
The secret?
Yeah, but that's why I want to keep it a secret.
What's the secret?
Because nobody knows.
What is it?
It's the one that nobody knows.
You have a secret.
I do.
It's got something to do with this song.
A strange little secret.
All the song is about your obsession with buying too many records, and there's a secret to it.
You know, here we go again. You know,
the place where truth lives.
It's this bait and switch game all the time, pal.
Well, I'm just trying to get the secret out of you. That's all.
Well, I know, and you never will. The song is not just about buying too many records. It's about I can't say.
Okay, well we'll spin this song, and then we'll come back, and we'll discuss it. We'll dissect it. We'll write a thesis paper on it.
Yes.
We'll take it apart.
We're taking calls right now.
We're taking calls on this song.
Listen to the song and find out and see if you can guess who it's about.
All right, if you know what the song is about, call 513-749-1444. This is called the CD Where It Hurts by the Grey Blankets. The song is Paper Cuts.
The Paper Cuts were my favorite band. Jangling like unamplified electric guitars. Heartbreak and empty hands. When you hit them, you could feel the scars. Two fingers, a guy and a girl. When they sang together, I forgot about this world. Stop.
Chris and Rob at 749-1444. This is WAIF.
If you think you know what the secret to that song was, call now. Are you going to spill the beans?
Oh, no way. It's too much fun.
But the song is about your obsession, I assume as a youngster, with this band called the Paper Cuts. It's a band you made up for the song, right?
Well, it's just a piece of fiction. It is a piece of fiction.
Kind of like High Fidelity.
But
kind of like Almost Famous. Like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Did you see Almost Famous?
I did. Sure. I saw it twice.
Now, you were a kid in the 70s.
You betcha.
And you were into rock and roll music. Was there
I met Ted Nugent when I was... 1971,
did
I was
you?
In seventh grade. Loved Terrible Ted back
uh-huh.
then. I can't say that I love him now.
Why not?
In fact, I kind of tend toward the other emotion. But...
Why not? He's still a monster on the guitar.
Yeah, Ted sucks. But... Ted was so cool. We all went backstage, and it was Ted, mm-hmm. you know, and he's like so much taller than me.
And was he talking real fast?
He was talking real fast,
uh-huh.
but I just kept bugging him. He's talking to some guy, you know, a ceiling above me, because mm-hmm. I was so small, and he eventually just leaned down, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, "What can I do for you, my boy?" And I said, "Mr. Nugent, can I have a pick?" And he said, "Everyone come backstage, and I'll give everybody picks," and he was the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway... That movie, Almost Famous, completely nailed that feeling of being at one of those kind of rock shows.
Oh, it did.
I honestly, I mean, it was like, because I was around that age of the kid, however old he is, I don't mm-hmm. know how old he is, but I don't know, I just smelled.
In the movie, he's 15, but he tells everyone he's 18.
Right, right. I started going to see shows like when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, just the vibe of that movie, it's I smelled the pot.
Oh, you did now.
Yes, it was that strong.
Hmm. And you were like, that's kind of sweet. What's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, kind of cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like my mom's incense.
Well. No, my mom
it didn't smell like your mom's incense?
My mom was a cold, warm mom, let me tell you.
Yeah?
She was no hippie.
Really?
This is true.
Cold, warm mom in Sylvania, Ohio.
You got it.
Damn. That sounds like something right out of Wally and the Beef.
Yeah, it wasn't, but mm-hmm. it sounds like it.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF. It's 11 minutes after 11, that making it 11:11. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to the Grave Blankets before they push out of here. We have
no one wants to talk to us.
They probably don't, but if we're still going to try to bust the secret of that song.
Okay.
It's got something to do with the movie Almost Famous. That's all I know so far.
It has nothing to do with
it. It has something to do with you meeting Ted Nugent in 71 and almost smelling the pot.
No. Anyway.
Call now. 749-1444. Rob, what's the next subject?
Are you guys the whole Grave Blankets, or are there a whole bunch of other ones?
Well, if you listen to those recordings that we're playing, they're a full band. It's a full mm-hmm. band, but sometimes the full band is just me. Sometimes it's just me and George in the recording studio.
Well, you used to have a violin. Do you still have the violin?
In the recording studio. As I was saying, you can make a big noise by yourself. It's magic in the recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we still have a violinist.
Are you going to have the violinist at the Valentine's Day gig?
No, we're not. Karen doesn't perform with us anymore. She just records.
Oh, okay. Who are you going to have at the Valentine's Day gig?
That was kind of the question.
Oh, know. Got it. Now I get it.
Well, I don't care about it. Oh yeah. Tom Huseman on drums. Bob Neiswanger on bass. George Guitar on the George Guitar. George Cunningham on the Guitaringham. Charlie Fletcher on the harmony vocals. And yours truly, me, on guitar and vocal. And maybe a mandolin. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's the Grave Blankets at Woo! The York Street Cafe on Valentine's Day. Grab your honey and make your reservations now. We'll play one more song here from your new record. Now, the new record, as we discussed earlier, is all I'll Take Some B-Sides, or as you say, half-baked masterpieces and complete obscurities.
Well, yeah, B-Sides is a bit of a stretch.
I
know it says more than that.
It says wonderful something up there. Yeah, something
is,
wonderful.
This is radio. I'm paraphrasing. Because, you know, we're just working with sound bites here.
Oh, you betcha.
Don't leave out the wonderful, though.
That's right. Don't forget about the wonderful. What do you want to hear? You want to hear a pop song?
I want to hear you guys play another song with your acoustic guitar.
It ain't going to happen.
Why not?
It's not. We're done. It's over.
That's all you worked up for our little show.
Yeah, we sure did.
Huh. Well, next time you want Rob and I to come out and MC one of your little shows, we'll just say, ladies and gentlemen, and then we'll leave. We'll just say, ladies and gentlemen.
Suits me fine.
To be appreciated in one's own time.
What?
Oh, okay.
Madness.
The caller wants to know if these two guys are going to have their own talk show.
Yeah. When are you guys getting your own, the Georgia Chris show?
As soon as we can either have you both killed, or kill yourself.
You can do it right now if you want.
Nah.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm Georgia. Together, we're the Chris and George show.
I'm having too much fun.
You don't want to take calls and talk about... U.S. foreign policy and...
Don't get us started.
Women's undergarments and things like that.
Wait, I missed what you just said.
Bow hunting, Ted Nugent. Yeah, you're a fan of Ted Nugent. I know you probably enjoy shooting the squirrel.
How about Ted's Wilderness Wonderland?
His bow hunting camp, you kill it and he'll grill it.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you got against Ted in the year 2000? I mean, I know Ted in the year 1971 was 30 years younger and, you know, going cuckoo on the guitar, but what's wrong with him now?
He's still a Motor City Madman.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's still crazy.
He's still a psycho, dude.
Do you really want to know?
I want to know what your beef with Ted is.
Yeah, what's wrong with Ted, man?
Well, he sucks. There you have it. I grew up. The music is shit. Excuse me.
White Buffalo? Great White Buffalo?
Yeah.
Stormtrooping, dude.
Stormtrooping.
Give me the Amboy Dukes. 1969.
He grew up. He still likes Journey to the Center of My Mind. He grew up.
The mind.
Dude, you never...
The mind,
when
Chris.
You outgrow Cat Scratch Fever, you've outgrown your libido.
Yeah, dude, you can't outgrow Cat Scratch Fever.
I hated Cat Scratch Fever when it came out.
It's true.
What about Scream Dream?
More crap.
Yeah.
You got any more? What's the one where he goes...
What about the one Meatloaf sings?
Does Meatloaf do one of his songs?
He sings the whole album. He sings that whole free-for-all record.
Oh, he does?
I would just like to say to my wife, honey,
I guess you're right.
Sweetie, if I arrive home tonight and there's an arrow sticking in my back, please remove it and send me to bed. Aspirin would be good.
Once I join the circus.
Oh, I know. Play Just a Question.
All right, but Once I Join the Circus.
It's another song.
Tell us about it.
Well,
did you ever have a secret fantasy of joining the circus as a trapeze artist?
No, it is a metaphor.
For?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, gee whiz. Such a mysterious
It's got to do with some band you used to be in, and you felt like it was being in a circus, right?
Circus Boys.
This song is about the Psycho Dots, isn't it?
This is not...
Chris, do you ever feel like giving life the big old middle finger?
I do it every day.
There's your song.
What, I Join the Circus?
Yeah.
That's about giving life the big middle finger?
Yeah.
That's good. See, those are the kind of answers I wanted out of you, Chris.
Well, you're never going to
get asking him from now on. All right, George.
Play the song.
Just a Question. Well, give us this song and a quick synopsis, and then we'll play it. Just a Question by the Gray Blankets.
I didn't play on this, so I don't know anything about it.
You didn't play on this?
I thought it was the circus song.
Nah, I don't want to play that song. I wanted to play Just a Question, but
why? What the hell are you guys doing over there? Were you guys?
Are you trying to edge George out of the band, kind of like Paul and John used to try to edge their George out of the band by not letting him play on the songs? Remember when Paul used to play the drums for Ringo?
Yeah.
You're doing this now.
Best Beatles guitar was Paul McCartney.
That's right.
No question.
So are you saying that on the next Gray Blankets record, you're just going to play all the instruments, Chris?
Actually, Chris,
you're just going to tell these guys to stay home.
You know what? You don't really want an answer, do you? You don't want the truth, do you?
I'm just messing with you now. All right, here's another song.
Follow you home, buddy.
All right. Hold on. There's a famous story of a Black Francis being interviewed, and they asked him when the rest of the Pixies are going to get to the interview, and he said, "I am the Pixies."
That's it. Can I? Nah, I'm not going to say that. No, this track...
So is this becoming... I am the Gray Blanket.
Listen, everybody, including you two clowns. I've been recording this way for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. There was a long period where...
What are you, Steve Winwood?
No, I'm not. There was a... to hell with you. Play the goddamn song.
Questions that don't live in every day.
How about that? The Grave Blankets.
How about it?
How about that? That was a short song called Just a Question.
Yes, it was.
Are all your songs that short?
I try to write between 2.5 to 4 minutes. Yeah, they're all about that short.
Okay, that's a good formula. All right, well, we're going to bid adieu to the Grave Blankets here. Thanks for coming down tonight. You guys are the greatest.
Well, we're the gravest. Thank you for letting us be berated by you on air.
We'll do this again next time you release something. We'll berate you again.
You think so?
We invited you down when you did your solo album a little while back, and you were not available.
Oh, I was so busy that I was playing all the instruments. Don't you remember?
That's right.
Kicking people out of the band.
But what was the name of that record?
I forget.
I Forget by Chris Arducer. Look
called,
for it.
It was called Hostage.
Hostage.
It still is.
And that one is available at fine record stores like Moles and stuff, right?
All of the Blankets catalog and my solo CD available at record stores in town. This record was intended as almost dare I say, a fan club release.
Wow. The one thing, to be actually serious for one brief moment, you're the only local band that's putting out, I don't know what you want to call it, outtakes or B-sides or, like you say, half-baked masterpieces and complete obscurity, songs that wouldn't go on your regular record. Right. Most local bands, and by local I just mean all the other bands in town, they're lucky to get a CD out once a year or once every couple of years. You guys are first of all, prolific. Not bad at what you do.
Not bad.
And then you put out records with all the songs that couldn't go on your other records.
Yeah.
Are people buying these things?
Yeah. How do you think I keep making them?
That's not bad for, especially in the local scene.
You see, I got this credo that the record actually has to pay for itself and then some, you know.
And then you can make the next one.
Yeah.
And then one pays for the next one. And
that's how a record company works. And of course, I'm doing it on this microscopic scale.
You call it Crooked Mile Records.
I do.
And you're the CEO?
I'm everything.
The executive committee.
That's right.
Is there any other bands on Crooked Mile Records?
Well, George's record's going to be
okay.
And God knows what else.
You're not signing punk bands from Clifton or anything like that?
I would.
Would you now?
My number is... No, anyway.
But they have to go through your lawyer and stuff.
You bet. John Schmidt.
You guys have been bringing up your lawyer a lot tonight. Is there something we need to know?
John Schmidt, bass player in the Flammables.
That's right.
Oh, yeah?
John Schmidt. Your friend in court.
Can you trust a lawyer who's in a rock and roll band?
You wouldn't think so, but
you can trust him to put up such a smoke screen. Oh my God. Yeah.
Huh. Is he a bulldog for justice? Is he a pit bull for justice? Does he have a calendar where he's decapitated the other lawyer?
That's the best kind of lawyer, right?
That's the best kind of lawyer I want.
All right.
To all of your questions.
Good for Mr. Schmidt.
All right. So, to recap, we will be looking for Grave Blankets at the York Street on Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th.
Yeah.
And the York Street's not a bad place to take a lady, so...
Oh, no, take your ladies.
You can get a little dinner downstairs. They have great cakes and pies there. Desserts.
Cake.
They have a chocolate raspberry fudge cake, at the York Street that's damn tasty. So,
cake!
Are you all right?
Cake!
All right, the drugs are kicking in, so thanks for coming down, Greg Blankets.
How come it's hilarious when you walk over to Robin and Joni's show and scream cornbread? Yeah, when he just sits there and screams cake, it's retarded. What's the difference in your mind, Chris? What is the difference in your mind besides who's doing the screaming of the big product?
Just cornbread.
Okay.
That's a funnier.
It's the way you deliver the cornbread to cake. All right.
Well, cake's only one syllable.
No.
Making it somehow simpler and more pure.
Yeah, but if you were back there screaming,
revealing your birthday lack cake. Of intelligence.
It's like the high Q of obnoxiousness.
All right, thanks for coming down, kids.
Thank you for having us.
anymore.
The special in special sauce. Chris and Rob on WAIF.
There's a big rally on Friday. Rally Against the War in Iraq, Speak Out. It's at 4 o'clock, University of Cincinnati in the Grassy Knoll. That's foreboding. It's in the Grassy Knoll in front of the UC Law School. Now, I don't know what a bunch of good is going to do. You're preaching to the choir, it seems like, if you're having an anti-war rally on the campus of anybody's university. Because that's where all the free-thinking young people already are.
UC's pretty conservative campus, and those things don't not have a lot of chicks at them. So it's a good place to meet girls. And you never know when the business major or the pre-law major or whatever young right-winger guy is going to be just drifting by and actually hear something that makes him stop and think. So yeah, go ahead. Friday, January 17th, Rally Against the War in Iraq. Speak out. Just please don't have any stupid songs. Don't have any stupid singers. Don't have any stupid, crazy, rabidly pro-Palestinian cats or anything. Just make the case for the war, and don't turn anybody off by being extremely boring.
Right. So there you go. 4 o'clock, Friday, University of Cincinnati Law School. You know, they really should be having these protests, like, at the Pentagon, at the White House, and where these decisions are being made. If you're serious about the anti-war effort,
well, dude,
go to Washington.
Well, when you got a class, it's kind of hard to make it to Washington.
Really?
Yeah. Were you happy with your last auto repair? Good service is often a matter of communicating with technicians, expecting the same in return, and staying involved in the process. For more information on receiving better auto service, visit ASECert.org. ASECert, that's, you know, ASECertified.org. Hey, it's Sunday night, dude. You're bringing the weekend to a close and preparing for the new week. Why not take a trip to the motherland, Africa, for music, news, and information? Dude, are you going to do your thing?
What thing?
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir! Alabanjo, Aragoon! Yes, sir!
Why not take a trip to the Motherland Africa Sunday night for music, news, and information? African Village Buka with Alubanjo who?
Aragoon!
You know, that's kind of inside if you listen to the radio station or if you're familiar with his program. That's just my bad impression of Banjo. He's the host of the show.
6 to 8 p.m. Sunday night.
Sunday night at 6. And it's a great show if you like the African music. They got the thumb piano, the kalimba. They got the King Sunny Ade. They got the juju music. And it's very good. And after it, you've got all the jazz programs, Congo Square and all that. Sunday night is a good night for jazz on WAIF, as is Tuesday night right after the Chris and Rob show when the Outside Inside Jazz program steps up to the
There's
mic.
There's a dude in town, Matt Shelton from Gone Are My Magnet. He plays the kalimba.
Now, do you
that's
hear that
very
music?
Interesting and cool. Yeah,
that's that disco music?
That's neat.
You can go like this to that music.
This 101 strings play the Bee Gees or something?
Arthur Fiedler, it's Fiedler night. It's Saturday Night Fiedler.
Saturday Night Fiedler. That was
I'm not
one.
Making that up either. That's Saturday Night Fiedler.
That was a good one. I really like Saturday Night Fiedler.
Rob has a poem in tribute to the late Morris Gibb. In case you just tuned in, or in case you just found this out, I'm going to be the breaker of bad news here. Morris Gibb from the Bee Gees, one third of the ultra high, super cool disco harmonies. He passed away over the weekend. Complications when he was having surgery for a blocked intestine, and I guess he had a cardiac failure and he died. Now the remaining brothers in the family are questioning the surgeon if he maybe it was malpractice, there might be a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Look out for trouble on the front if you're into Florida medical practice, because everything's going to go cuckoo down there when the Bee Gees sue the surgeon for malpractice.
Yeah, you can't just kill a disco god and not think there won't be repercussions.
If you want to call in and discuss, we have another half hour to go. We're going to be discussing Morris Gibb, the Bee Gees, the music of the Bee Gees, the influence that they had on American popular culture from the 70s up to the present. Actually, the 60s up to the present. Because, you know, they came out kind of as a bubblegum British pop band in the 60s with that song about the coal mine.
1967 was their when they really broke away out of just being a derivative Beatlesque pop band with New York Mining Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then they just had musical height after musical height. It was just fantastic.
What are you laughing about?
We have a quote here from USA Today. Tracked down a longtime music critic, J.D. Considine. I'm not really familiar with J.D. Considine's work. Are you, Chris?
Not really, no.
No. He says that although, according to the article here, Maurice Gibb, Morris Gibb, singer, bassist, keyboardist, tended to get less attention in the press than either of his sibling bandmates, particularly the hunkier and more overtly creative Barry. So Barry was the hunkier and more overtly creative one. He's the one that looked like George Michael before George Michael looked like George Michael. if you're trying to figure out which one it is, Barry looked like George Michael before George Michael looked like George Michael. Robin actually looks like a bird. That's a good name for him, Robin. He kind of looks very bird-like.
You know, Robin
he?
And Morris were twins, but they look nothing alike. Not right. Nothing. Robin has hair. Morris is balding. Robin has got a bald face. Morris has a beard. Robin is kind of tall and thin. Morris like is kind of short and stocky. They don't look anything alike. They're obviously not identical twins. They must be fraternal twins.
Longtime music critic J.D. Considine maintains that Morris's role in the Bee Gees' music was hardly inconsequential. Considine says that Gibb's bass line, for instance, defined the mood and the groove of Jive Talkin', which was a very pivotal song for the Bee Gees.
Right.
That was where
I've had enough of your jive talking. You're now bringing me down.
See,
yeah?
Jive Talkin' was where the band started to make the move from Beatlesque sound of its early career to the sophisticated dance music of Saturday Night Fever.
Why are you laughing, Rob?
I don't know. The sophisticated dance music thing. No, I'm not laughing. The music on Saturday Night Fever is some of the most sophisticated music ever created. J.D. Considine says so.
All right, well, here's Rob with a poem. In the Chris and Rob tradition, Rob always presents a beatnik poem. And what do you call that beatnik phrasing? There's a word for that phrasing that beatnik poets use.
I call it jaw.
Okay. So Rob has written a beatnik poem in honor of the late Morris Gibb, and the beatnik poem goes like this.
I usually sniffle first. And I go, thank you, man. Maurice Gibb! When you trimmed your beard, did you wear a bib? Maurice Gibb! You used to blame it on the Knights of Broadway. Now your brothers blame it on some hack Florida doctor, Maurice Gibb. You didn't need no cowboy outfit, no construction outfit, no Indian chief jive. All you needed was staying alive. Maurice Gibb ate a barbecued kangaroo rib with Vegemite. You know he's Australian. Leo Sayer was a pud. The Tramps were duds. Alicia Bridges smelled like Elmer Fudd. But you, Maurice Gibb, could service Ruth, Bonnie, and June Pointer all at the same time, and they'd be so excited, afternoon delighted, to find out how deep your love is, Maurice Gibb. Maurice Gibb. Lyrics so glib, rocked a crib, bit a nib, had some sibs, drank Mr. Pibb, put in a dib, say, call me Mr. Gibb. It'd be a fib if I'd say it isn't a shame. Maurice Gibb. Thanks, guys.
Until the program has come to a complete stop. This is Chris and Rob on WAIF.
With the advantage of hindsight, you can look back on the music of the 1970s, and you can say a lot of things. I mean, you can say a lot of things about rock and roll and disco sucks. Remember when everyone used to write disco sucks on their gym bag, and on their locker, say disco sucks?
Yeah, I remember that.
And you remember they used to have these no BG weekends on the top 40 stations?
Good for them.
But, you can say a lot about the music of the 70s. Certainly Stevie Wonder wrote better songs, and Marvin Gaye was more soulful and sexier, and you could say, Al Green, was more inspired or something, but the Bee Gees certainly had an impact. There was nothing like it. And not just because of the disco thing and the falsetto and the record sales, but those guys were, amongst the better songwriters of the popular genre, the popular genre, the music that made it into movies, and their soundtrack for Saturday Night Fever, I'm not sure, but still may be, you know, the best selling.
I think the Titanic may have hurt.
I'm talking about rock music, or disco music, popular music.
Well, the Titanic crap was pop music. Well, it was all over Q102.
Oh, it was?
My Heart Will Go On, the Celine Dion song.
So that sold more than Saturday Night Fever?
I don't know. I think it may have. I'm not sure. I wouldn't swear one way or the other.
I think Saturday Night Fever. I remember I had this teacher when I was in college. It made us write
papers. You know, college is a long time ago for you. There's been other records put out since then.
He made us write a paper on movie soundtracks, and I wrote a paper about Saturday Night Fever and about how it was on the charts the longest of any soundtrack
album.
What
was that, 89?
What, when I was in school?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I'm talking about a movie that came out in 99. Therefore, your paper didn't have this movie mentioned.
But I don't care. Why are you being argumentative? I don't care about all that. I didn't come down here to talk about the Titanic. That movie sucked anyway.
I didn't see it. I heard it was really long. I heard you had to see Cate Blanchett's knockouts.
Oh, really?
But you got to sit through 3 hours of other stuff just to see Cate Blanchett's boobay.
Is it worth it?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
This station is great. Check this out.
Women try to understand the New York Times effect on man. How about that lyrics? How about those lyrics?
Mm.
How about that, Mr. Fung?
Which song is that from?
Staying Alive, isn't it? Staying Alive.
What's that song that's like, Cry Me a River that leads to your ocean? Which song is that from?
What about Get Off Your Back? You Should Be Dancing.
That's right. That's right.
I like... You know these songs really, Chris?
Hey, give us a phone call. 749-1444. We'll take the show out of here talking about the Bee Gees if we get some calls. Otherwise, we're going to talk about the death penalty.
These songs remind me of junior high in elementary school. And being very sad because I was listening to these songs and being sad at the junior high dances because they weren't playing something cool. And I remember hearing these Bee Gees songs thinking, I wish they wouldn't play these Bee Gees songs. I really wish they would play something I like. And they never did.
They never do.
No. In 77, I liked ZZ Top, Fandango. And I like the first Dire Straits record.
Oh, yeah?
And country music.
Well, that's cool.
And, you know, old, like Buddy Holly and Elvis Presley and stuff.
Hello, Mark. You're on the air with the Chris and Rob Show.
Hey, man. How Deep Is Your Love takes me back to when I was about 15 in the back hall of the industrial building there. And I had this Jehovah's Witness girlfriend, and she was just loved that song. Oh, that's a funny thing.
Did you make out with her?
Yeah, in the stairwell, you know, swapping spit and then the gum, you know, where inevitably you end up.
You're grossing me out, Mark.
Dude,
stop, man.
You would take the gum out of your mouth and hand it to her?
No, when the exchange was all done, I would end up with her gum, yeah.
Well, you'd start swapping spit while you're still chewing gum.
Right.
Dude, those Jehovah's Witnesses know how to party, dude.
Did you ever eat her breakfast right out of her mouth? You know, some eggs, bacon,
like
stuff
a baby
like that.
Bird.
I tell you what, the problem is I can't remember her name, and it's bothering me. She was really Sherry, yeah.
Was she your first girlfriend?
No. Heavens no, I...
Step boy.
No, I was...
Swapped gum with many girls, have you?
Yeah, well, I was a pud whacker at an early age. Yeah, well, it's been a long time since I thought about the Gibbs and any of that.
For his automatic laugh.
What school is this, Mark?
Norwood, of course.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, Norwood High School.
Yeah, it's a good school, man.
You know, they got a planetarium in Norwood High School now.
Yeah, oh yeah, they did too when I was a youth.
Oh, did you spend a lot of time in there looking at the stars?
Yeah, I did. I really did. I liked the cosmos is of interest to me anyway.
Did you go to the Norwood dances there when you were in junior high and dance around to the Bee Gees music?
Surely, absolutely. I probably spent more time standing there with my hands in my pockets than actually dancing, but...
That and like Up on a Roof by James Taylor.
Right. James Taylor is just such a melodic person anyway. It's nice. It's great to listen to him sing.
When was the first time you slow danced and you noticed a girl's boobs crushing into your chest and you thought, oh my God.
I don't know. I was probably doing that at 9 or 10.
Oh, didn't have boobs at 9 or 10. What do you got in the milk in Norwood where the 9-year-olds are stacked?
Why does he keep going?
Norwood, man, was just a different place.
All right, Norwood knows how to party,
dude. It still is, Mark. Thanks for your call.
Peace.
Later on,
dude. We've got an open phone line at 749-1444 if you'd like to get in on this and talk about the Bee Gees or the death penalty.
In 4 short weeks, a blind person can acquire mobility and independence at Leader Dogs for the Blind. For more information about the Leader Dog program, call 888-777-5332. Have you been the victim of a serious crime?
Just listening to this show, that's all.
To find out if you are eligible for compensation from the Ohio Victims of Crime Compensation Program, call the toll-free hotline, 800-824-8263. And the fastest hour on radio is In Review with Mark and Steve. It is, I tell you what, fantastic. It's In Review, great tunes, interviews, years in music history, concert info, In Review, Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Right here on WAIF Interview, Saturday at 5.
749-1444. Take a minute again to thank the Grave Blankets for coming down. Chris and George were here. We enjoyed their visit, even though they were very verbally abusive to us. And they are welcome
to come
again.
Dude, that was great, man. They kicked your ass. Chris Arducer verbally kicked your ass. He picked you up by the scruff of the neck.
Oh, is that so?
Dragged you out into the parking lot and kicked. He made you look silly.
Oh, is that
your people were calling from all over the listing area. We reach everywhere because of the internet site. People call up and they were demanding that we turn a show over to Chris and George. Yeah. They had enough of you because Chris Arducer was just slicing and dicing and just absolutely filleted you and left you a bloody pulp here on the studio floor that I had to sweep up and bandage back together so we can continue to do the last little bit of the show.
Check out their music at graveblankets.com. And while I'm mentioning, the music scene, you can find a good selection of local music and compact discs at our underwriter, Wizards in Oakley. You know, there's a new version of Wizards. It's over in Oakley Square, across the street from that big 20th Century Theater. So next time you're over there, see if they got any Grave Blankets in stock or any other music that you dig, local, international, or, you know, whatever. Even if it's just statewide.
You probably got some Gibb Brothers.
There might be a couple of Gibb Brothers records there at that Wizard record in Oakley. So the old Oakley Square.
So BG's is Brothers Gibb, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they got that?
Yeah, BG's.
Was there already a band called the Gibbs that didn't want to be the Gibbs?
I don't know why they did that. I think that's just one of those, you know, heady rock and roll things.
You know, there used to be... My other good BG story, besides all those other great ones I've told so far tonight, has been... you're probably familiar with this building. It's called the BG Bookstore in Bowling Green.
Oh, okay.
But they write it out,
BEE-GEE.
And I'd lived right across the street from this place for a year and a half. I was in my last semester of living in the dorms, and I looked, and it was right outside my window. I looked at this thing every day, and that's where I bought my books and everything. Never occurred to me, but a friend of mine from Hamilton comes up to a party, dude. Like, you have friends from out of town to come up and party, and you got to give them food coupons and stuff.
All right, dude.
So he comes up to party, and he goes, dude, you guys like disco up here or what? And I'm like... Huh? You got the BG Bookstore right across the street from you. I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, oh, the Bee Gees.
Well, that's
how
the best you
that?
Can come up with?
That's the well, I told you the Bee Gees really did not make a huge impact on my life, besides Jive Talking being one of the first five or maybe first one single I ever bought. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's right up there.
When
well,
45 RPM when record.
Like, running like 27 cents at Rinks.
This is Boogie Child.
No, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Too deep and I just keep saying dead. When you move it like you really know how to move it, I'll follow you wherever you go.
sure. Let's go. I can't stand the way you do it. Don't put me through it.
Disco have been if not for the Honer Clavinet.
Well, Chris, you know,
hold on. Let's play pay tribute to the Honer Clavinet. Say something nice about the Honer Clavinet.
It's got that nice little
it's funky, man. It's funky.
But we're thinking earlier today that Barry was the hunkier and more overtly...
You weren't thinking about that, gay boy. I wasn't thinking any of them were hunky.
And more overtly creative of the Bee Gees. And Maurice and Robin had to come in and they did the harmonies. They were the Bee Gees that harmonized with Barry's unique vocal stylings. So I could see poor Robin and Maurice coming in, after a day at the beach of the Bahamas or Bermuda, wherever these guys would record records, in France, and they'd say, okay, you guys ready to lay down your harmony vocals? And they'd say, right, so what's the lead? We have to follow that, mate. And the producer would play it back, and it'd be,
how'd it go again?
I can do something with that, mate. Okay. And they would just go have a free-for-all. This was their last number one song, though. We're going to pay tribute to the
Bee Gees. This one was number one?
This was a number one hit.
How long did it chart?
3 weeks.
No.
I don't know.
Longer than 3 weeks.
I don't know. No. Well, I don't know. It's called Tragedy, and it's by the Bee Gees.
By the way, here's a trivia question for you. Okay. How did they get the bomb sound? You know there's a bomb that goes, Tragedy! How did they get that sound? They didn't get it off a sound effects record. They didn't go out and record firecrackers or anything.
Well, didn't they have, what wasn't by then, was that a pre-programmed synth sound
with
their new...
Barry went in the studio, got on the mic, just like this one right here, cupped his hands around the mic, and he went, I'm not making that up. I saw it on TV.
Man, that's cool.
They filmed him doing it.
You watch a lot of good TV.
Yeah, they had him going in the studio. They had that song. It was Tragedy, and they needed something. They were looking for something else for that song to make it, a song. And they had all the guitars and the bass and the drums and everything. And the Honer Clavinet was already in there.
When you lose control and you have no soul, it's a tragedy.
That's how he did it. He just grabbed the mic and he went...
Soul, it's a tragedy.
Like that.
Lighter.
It's kind of progressive, too. Listen.
It's very Yes-like.
Can you hear that horn clamming out?